Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Wednesday. How you doing? August 9th edition of Spencer on Sports here on 1600 KGYM. Find us in the FM dial 2, 102.3 and 106.3 at Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Streaming worldwide from our international broadcast center right to you through your computer, KGYMradio.com, also on your smartphone. Look for the free KGYM app in your app store. Download it. Fire up the stream right there on or Android or Apple device. Also find us on your smart speaker. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac here as well with you for the next hour or so till 3 o'clock. As always, kicking off four straight hours of local sports talk. Don't know why I said that with kind of a half English accent. I don't know. It's one of those days like I walk into work, a lot to do, try to focus on stuff here, and then you start doing this, and then you're like, oh, I should do this. And then you realize you're doing two totally different things that have nothing to do with each other. You're like, wait a minute. I need to focus on this because this is for my radio show. This is for not the radio show, and I should maybe put that aside for a little bit. I don't know. It's been one of those days, but we're going to talk sports. We got lots to get to here in the show. Again, I feel like I say that every day, especially lately. We run out of time for some stuff lately, but such is life when there's a lot going on. Not going to touch a lot on realignment. We'll get into a little bit of the fallout with conference realignment in college football. We spent the last handful of shows talking about it when it comes to how the Big Ten is, you know, got to look and what their schedule should be and kind of the reaction to it after all the news came to fruition on Friday with the moves that are being made for 2024, the additional moves, I should say, that are being made for 2024. Is one thing I want to get into today that I think it's not been overlooked, but we haven't spent too much time on it. What's going to happen with the college football playoff? We know it's going to expand here coming up next year, and that means relatively better chance to make it in. But now that one of the Power Five is essentially dead in the Pac-12, now the Pac-4, after all the defections from that league, there are going to be changes made to maybe not necessarily how many teams get in, but how many bids are awarded. Interesting voice in the conversation was SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. He was on the Paul Feinbaum show. I won't yell Paul into the microphone. That'll make you all turn off the radio here. But he appeared on the Paul Feinbaum show on the SEC Network yesterday to share his thoughts on conference realignment and its impact on the expansion of the college football playoff. We'll talk about that before 3 o'clock. Get some NFL news and notes in here. Plenty of starting, not just starting quarterbacks, but starters in general are actually going to be playing in the preseason. You don't necessarily see that all that often, but there's a pretty big list of starting quarterbacks and even starters, like I said, in general, that are going to be seeing some action. It's not going to be a whole game, obviously, but seeing starting caliber players actually play in the preseason. Change of pace, I guess, but it seems to make sense in the long run. We'll get to that before three. Also tracking Major League Baseball today, a couple games in action. Isaac, we may have the return. Now, it's only the fourth inning in Milwaukee, but after what happened last night at American Family Field, the Brewers with back-to-back-to-back bases-loaded walks in the 10th surrendered to the Colorado Rockies of all teams. And now the current score I'm seeing on my screen in front of me, we may have to bring back, and I know listeners love the segment, Spencer complains about the Brewers.
I love the segment. It's been a while.
Cup fans love this segment because it's me in misery that my team can't beat the Rockies, the Nationals, the Oakland A's, and that may give the Cubs the division. I don't know, but yeah, things not going well in Milwaukee as of this afternoon. Cub fans, I can hear you cheering for your beloved Colorado Rockies, the 45-68 Colorado Rockies, as we speak. But we'll get into that if we have time before top of the hour. Cubs did win yesterday. Brewers, like I said, gave up back-to-back-to-back bases-loaded walks. What made it worse And I guess we're just jumping right in with Spencer complains about the Brewers. It was Andrew Chafin, a guy they traded for from the Diamondbacks, who gave up the bases loaded walks last night. What are we doing here? Yeah, but more to come. More to come. What's new on that side of the glass? Anything going on over there?
Nope, just getting ready for Friday. Premier League season starts on Friday. Yeah. Just one game with Man City and Burnley, and then club soccer season will be in full effect. It's been obviously been international stuff here and there, and MLS is obviously going on because they play at a completely different time than the rest of the world for whatever reason. Well, I know why. It's because they don't want to compete with football, so I guess it makes sense.
Right.
But other than that, just working on some awesome promos for you guys back here.
So excellent. Hard at work.
If you see the headphones off, it means I'm listening to other things, so try not to turn the mic on.
I will make sure to turn. You just said try not to turn the mic on. That means I'm going to turn up your microphone and ask you the most random question of all time. You just brought it on yourself. 319-366-1600, I should mention, is the talker text line as we come to you from the Circa Sports Iowa studios here on, I would say, a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, but I know it's been raining outside here in eastern Iowa, so an okay Wednesday afternoon. Glad we're inside the radio studio today. Let's start with a little college sports talk. I saw this. This is interesting from On3 Sports, and it's, I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm ready for week zero. Can we get to the on-field stuff? Media day for Iowa football is this Friday. We had Iowa State's media day last week, and that, you know, the slow trickle, the slow countdown, I guess, continues as we get to week zero coming up on the 26th. I'm ready for games, like enough of the preseason talk. But there's still plenty of preseason talk to talk about, and that's what we do here. We talk about content and bring you, the listener, into the conversation. But I was reading this last night. Jesse Simonton from On3 Sports, I believe we've shared stuff and content and articles from him on the program. But he came out with a dark horse candidate for each conference that could, in his mind, win the respective conference. And I would not be sharing this article with you if it did not involve an Iowa team. Well, guess what? It does. Big Ten, Jesse Simonton of On3 Sports, says his dark horse candidate to win the Big Ten is indeed the Iowa Hawkeyes. Now, we've talked about the optimism in this Iowa team, that there is going to be marked improvement, especially in the offensive side of the ball, and we'll hear more about that, and we'll discuss more on that in the coming days as we look ahead to Media Day on Friday for the Iowa football team. But as we've heard from a lot of the national pundits, I've got Phil Steele here next to me, is a delightful, wonderful magazine. As I've said before, the GOAT of college football preview magazines. There is that optimism, right? There's thought that the offense is going to be better. And Simonton and On3 Sports last night highlighted, of course, the impactful transfers, the potential for impactful transfers. I don't think you need to use the word potential there. I think they are going to be impactful transfers of Cade McNamara and Eric All, and even throwing in a name like Caleb Brown, the transfer from Ohio State, who, while he might not be on the preseason depth chart that we got a week or two ago, if he can live up to his potential, certainly could be an impact player for this Iowa offense, but also points at the defense, including guys like Cooper DeJean and others who are returning and expected to do big things. So, again, we continue to see this. And I guess my question to you at 319-366-1600, this isn't just a Big Ten West prediction. This is an entire Big Ten prediction. I guess, do you buy it? Do you include them, the Iowa football team, as a quote-unquote dark horse candidate to win the whole thing? Not necessarily the West, because I think we've established it comes down to Wisconsin and Iowa. I've said numerous times, and I'll keep saying it until we get to, what, October 14th? I could open up Phil Steele and confirm that. I think it's going to come down to Iowa and Wisconsin in the West. I think Illinois is going to have something to say about it. At least they hope to have something to say about it. Minnesota might sneak up there, but in the end, it's going to come down to those two Big Ten West titans, if you will. And if you're Iowa and you can make it two in a row against Wisconsin, And you can get through whoever the East offers us, likely to be Michigan or Ohio State. The opportunity is absolutely there, but is it that simple? You tell me, 319-366-1600. But another national pundit that has come out and said, hey, this team has potential. I like what I'm seeing. On paper, the looks are good. Whether the on paper turns into on the field is certainly another question. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts on the potential of a dark horse candidate for the Big Ten championship being the Iowa Hawkeyes? 319-366-1600. Like I said, I think the tools are there. I'm choosing to be glass half full on this because I don't want to be glass half empty. I already see John on the text line telling me not to be miserable and not to complain about the Brewers. So we have one vote for, one vote against. I don't know who do I choose, the listener or my producer? I don't know. But I'm choosing to be glass half full on this because I think the additions are going to be that impactful. And I guess, you know, we're going to see here coming up in a couple weeks. I think you look at the schedule, they should. Again, you know, we all thought they were going to win, and they did against South Dakota State. And South Dakota State, I think, being completely fair to Utah State, and it's hard to compare FCS and FBS, right? But I think South Dakota State is a much stronger opponent than Utah State. I don't think I'm out of bounds in saying that, but Iowa very well could go 3-0. It's going to come down to that Iowa State game in the non-conference slate, September 9th over in Ames. Said before, I'm leaning toward picking Iowa in that one. I'm not going to make my pick until game week, so don't sit here, ooh, he's being a homer. No. Haven't made my official pick yet, but knowing what we know, what we think we know, I guess, about what might be happening with Iowa State, especially their quarterback availability, I'd lean towards Iowa in that game. Iowa should roll Western Michigan on September 16th. And then, you know, the Big Ten is going to be interesting this year. Penn State, probably the hardest road game. Wisconsin, a close second on the 14th. But everything else, yeah, pretty manageable. Michigan State, not sure what's going to be coming out of East Lansing this year. Purdue, new coach, new players. Minnesota, they want the pig. Will they get the pig? They still haven't gotten the pig under P.J. Fleck. Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, Nebraska are some challenging games, but this Iowa team plays to their potential. I think it's going to be a good year. What is good? I don't know, but that's what we're all going to find out coming up here. I think it's going to be better than last year, I think, especially on the offensive side of the football. 319-366-1600. Is Iowa truly a dark horse candidate, in your mind, for the Big Ten championship? Got to get through Wisconsin, got to get through the East, and then you win it, essentially. Can't afford any slip-ups on the schedule, and who knows what'll happen. Big Ten can throw you some curveballs, as we know. Remember last year, you only have to look to, week 12 and the Nebraska game. Hey, it's right there for Iowa. They can win the Big Ten West. All they got to do is beat Nebraska, interim coach. Scott Frost isn't there. They're reeling. Got to beat them at home. And we all saw what happened. So I wouldn't say it's a done deal. I wouldn't put it 100% in their favor. But if you can catch a couple breaks, you've all heard the old cliche, right? The ball bounces your way. Who knows what'll happen? 319-366-1600-0905. The linebacker transfer for Iowa is huge for this year's team. Nick Jackson, right, from Virginia, I think going to be a impact player. Nick Jackson listed as a starter, 10.5 sacks in 4 years at Virginia, coming over from the ACC. I certainly agree he's going to be one of the guys. If you had to rank, like, the impact transfers, I think you're putting McNamara number one, just considering where that quarterback room was in Iowa City. I think you put them, or him, I should say, at number one. I think then you put Eric All, number two. Maybe the offensive lineman, too. Rusty Feth could put him there as impact transfer, but I would agree, especially at linebacking core, you lose Seth Benson, you lose Jack Campbell, first-round draft pick, and Campbell certainly is going to be an impact player there for the defense. 319-366-1600. Ken, checking in on the text line, says he agrees Iowa has the potential to win the Big Ten. Couple of big ifs. Offensive line has to be better, absolutely. Otherwise, the quarterback change will be meaningless. Defense and special teams can stack up, with just about any team. Ken also asking about the Cubs. I've got the Cub fans trolling me now on the text line. I would not be surprised. I don't want to get into baseball. We're talking college football, but I think they can win the division if the Brewers keep playing with their food. I think they can. Will they? I don't know, but I guess we'll find out. 0411. Text is not loading here. There we go. 0411. Thank you for texting in at 319-366-1600. If defense can replace linebackers, they will be salty again, and Phil Parker we trust. Offense has to be better. Nowhere to go but up. With a pulse on offense against Michigan last year, we seriously test the Wolverines. Also throwing in, I'm not sure if you're saying that sarcastically or you truly believe that, 0411, but says book CFP ticks now. Maybe in an expanded CFP 2023 edition where there's still four teams. I'm not sure, but the optimism is there. We'll see if the optimism translates into on the field success. 319-366-1600. Interesting. I asked this on Twitter, and I got the response I think I did, or I thought I would, excuse me. When it comes to preseason hype, Isaac, I see you have the headphones off, so I'm gonna go to you here. But I asked this just because I'm curious, and I didn't mean this to be an Iowa football question, but I meant this for every sport, MLB, NFL, NBA, whatever. Do you like it when there's preseason hype for your favorite team, or do you prefer to fly under the radar? Do you prefer it when nobody talks about your team? I'm not speaking specifically about Iowa. I had this Iowa football in mind with this question when I asked it. But just in general, do you like the hype, or do you want people to not talk about your team? Do you not want the kiss of death early on?
I prefer to fly under the radar, just because when you have so much hype, usually if you do not meet that expectations, you get like clowned on a lot harder than you do if you don't meet those expectations. Look at like A&M for the past, gosh, I don't know, what are you at? What's ever since Jimbo got there, really?
Funny you bring them up.
yeah. So under the radar would be my answer. I'm going to go back to making promos.
There you go. I thank you for realizing I was coming to you, but yeah, I prefer, and you can weigh in too in the text line. Do you prefer flying under the radar, your team to fly under the radar, or do you like it when people talk up your team? It gets you excited. You tell me. 319-366-1600. Isaac mentioned Texas A&M, and I'll tell you why I was kind of half laughing about that in just a moment as we get back to this article from Jesse Simonton and On3. But a couple more texts coming in, 7285. Let's not forget, we, meaning Iowa football, still has Brian Ferentz calling plays. Need to temper expectations with that in mind. And 0411 says there is a little bit of sarcasm there in their text about booking CFP tickets now. In the expanded CFP, if you have a good season and say your only loss or losses are to Penn State and Wisconsin, you avoid a slip-up against a Northwestern or a Rutgers or whatever, and I'm putting the 2023 schedule into 2024, and I don't know what that's going to look like, so you can't really make this comparison, but in the expanded CFP, conceivably, I think you have a better shot, but you need to limit your losses still. Would 10-2 get you in an expanded CFP? I'm not sure. But if you can upset one of those teams, say we were looking at an expanded college football playoff here in 2023, I think you absolutely could. You could see that happen, but not this year. Temper those expectations. I would agree. I think it's a ripe to be optimistic, but expectations, maybe temper them a little bit. Maybe wait till the game is played to see where things are at. Of course, can you really glean anything? I mean, you can glean something, but can you glean too much from week one against a mid to lower level group of five team, whether it's Utah State or someone else? Yeah, I'm not sure. 319-366-1600. The poll, by the way, I ran. 82% of folks who voted said, yeah, I want to be under the radar. I want my team, whether, you know, it's my favorite NFL team, favorite baseball team, so on and so forth. I want them to be under the radar. And I agree with that. I mean, I liked hearing good things about my team. I think we all do, right? We don't want to just be told, yeah, your team's going to be terrible. Don't even bother. You don't want to hear that ever, right? Like, you want to have a little bit of confidence in your club. But, yeah, what Isaac said is true. Like, you don't want to be clowned on when you don't live up to the hype. I totally get that. 319-366-1600. Get back to the rest of this article from Simonton here. He did pick one for every major conference. Some of them are interesting. One of them, I think I've kind of given a hint as to who it might be after what Isaac said about Texas A&M. We'll talk about that and a look at the rest of the potential dark horse candidates for conference champions in 2023. Also want to get into a little college football playoff expansion or college football playoff expansion and how that relates to realignment as well after the break. We'll do that coming up in a couple minutes. You're listening to Spencer on Sports here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it's going to be cloudy with some periodic showers and an isolated thunderstorm. Temperatures will be held to the upper 70s to low 80s today as a result. Then later tonight, the rain will wind down, the clouds will gradually clear, and some fog may form by morning. Temperatures will drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow, we are going to have plenty of sunshine, and temperatures are going to climb into the mid 80s. We'll then have another chance for rain early Friday and an additional round possible Friday evening. That's your latest weather first forecast.
Multi-award winning hip-hop icon Ludacris live in concert. See Ludacris performing at the Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines Friday, August 18th. Get tickets now at the Iowa State Fair ticket office or online at iowastatefair.org. Convenience fees apply to all tickets. Don't miss Ludacris for one night only, live at the Iowa State Fair Grandstand. Give it to me
now. The Black Keys Dropout Boogie Tour. August 14th, 8 p.m., Iowa State Fair Grandstand in Des Moines. With special guest, the Velveteers, the Black Keys, live and loud. Reserve tickets on sale now through iowastatefair.org and at the Iowa State Fair ticket office. Convenience fees apply to all tickets.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Get 11% off everything for your deck project now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time relaxing on it. Menards carries UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking that's easy to install, maintain, and is built to last. UltraDeck rustic composite decking is only $195 per lineal foot in 8, 12, and 16-foot lengths after rebate. Good through August 13th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor. Select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Circus Sports Iowa encourages you to gamble responsibly. Problems with gambling? Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
229, Wednesday edition of Spencer on Sports. Back with you here on KGYM, 319-366-1600, discussing On3 Sports article, Dark Horse Candidates for Each Conference Title. Jesse Simonton from On3 saying Iowa is the dark horse for the Big Ten championship. Do you agree with him? Not just the Big Ten West, but the whole Big Ten. You tell me, 319-366-1600. Get to a little baseball before top of the hour. Also, maybe a little NFL. Poll question has to do with the NFL and preseason football. Are you a fan of starting quarterbacks playing during the preseason? Yes or no? You can vote courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Highway 1 West in Iowa City at KGYMRadio.com. So far, the early leader in the clubhouse is yes. You let us know what you think. KGYMRadio.com. 319-366-1600. So we've established thought from on three is that Iowa is the dark horse for the Big Ten. What about the other conferences? There are some interesting picks here. Some of them I don't necessarily agree with. ACC. The ACC, which could soon include Stanford and Cal. Because things just make so much sense in the year of our Lord 2023. Simonton picks Louisville to be the dark horse candidate, not to win it, but the dark horse candidate to win the ACC. They were picked eighth in the preseason poll. Phil Steele has Louisville, picked sixth. Phil pointing out they do avoid Clemson, Florida State, and North Carolina, three of the better teams in the ACC. No divisions, remember, in the ACC this year. So maybe a little bit easier path, but new coach, new quarterback, I believe Jack Plummer. We can't remember him. He's not a remember some guys just yet, but former Purdue and Cal quarterback Jack Plummer is now at Louisville from what I've read. So Jeff Brohm there. Could he have a winning season? Sure. I'm not up to speed on all my Louisville Cardinals football knowledge, but don't think Louisville, again, is dark horse. So it's not, you know, going to win the thing outright, but Louisville, definitely, I think, more in the long shot category than anything. A team that's had a lot of hype surrounding it. A lot of the national pundits high on Texas Tech, and this Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, are Simonton's dark horse pick to win the Big 12. Phil Steele has Texas Tech picked fifth. He does point out that they have five away games in the Big 12 this season. But do have 17 returning starters for Tech. Certainly is going to be interesting to see what happens with Texas Tech. They went 8-5 last year. Texas Tech is Jesse Simonton's pick to win, or the dark horse pick, I should say, to win the Big 12. Team from the soon-to-be-defunct Pac-12. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that with such authority because we don't know what's going to happen yet, but Simonton picks Oregon State. Certainly an interesting case study there with Oregon State. Could they win the Pac-12 in the Pac-12's final year of existence? That would be 30-for-30 worthy, I think, if they do that. But new quarterback there, DJ Uiagalelei, coming over from Clemson. Fresh start, I think, needed for DJ. A much-hyped prospect. Had some good moments in relief of Trevor Lawrence in the 2020 season. Didn't really live up to what was expected of him down there with Dabo's crew. DJ Uiagalelei headed back west to Oregon State, and we'll see if the Beavers can challenge USC and others for the top of the Pac-12. And Isaac, you mentioned Texas A&M and how quite often there is preseason hype with them. And it just so happens in this On3 Sports article, Simonton's dark horse pick to win the SEC is Texas A&M. What could possibly go wrong?
I will say they didn't get ranked in the top 10 of the coaches poll this year. So
true.
It's getting better, at least they're labeled a dark horse now, not a strong contender or anything. So that's improvement in my book.
Phil Steele does include A&M as his number two surprise team in college football here for 2023. So he didn't say they're going to win anything, but still, I agree with you. I think the hype maybe has cooled down a little bit. People have somewhat learned their lesson, but they still are 25th in the coaches poll. Now that I think about it, out of the top 10, which team is most likely to not do anything to be that kind of Texas A&M level? I don't think it's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, or Ohio State. That leaves LSU, USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, and Tennessee. Out of all those teams, the last five, the bottom five, who could be the one that kind of just falls out of the top 10 and kind of fades into oblivion early on?
Florida State, I guess. I think if you look, I know they had a good end of the season, but I think the teams they went up against were not particularly good teams for their little, I think it was like a 6-game winning streak to close out the season.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, I could be wrong on that, but that would be initial reaction. That would be the team that I would pick.
It could be, Clemson lost like what, three games last year. that's unheard of in the upstate in South Carolina. But Florida State, that win streak, Georgia Tech, Miami, Syracuse, Louisiana, and Florida, and then beat the worst Oklahoma team of the last decade in their bowl game. So I could see, I would agree with you and say Florida State, but I like Will Shipley at Clemson, Cade Klubnik. I like him a lot as a quarterback. I think Garrett Riley being hired there certainly was a good move for them, offensive wise. Because Brandon Streeter, my uncle's a huge Clemson fan, so I could like get him on the air and we would just fill the entire show with Clemson talk. And people were like, "Why are you guys talking about Clemson so much?" But anyways, I feel like Clemson has more to lose, I think,
because
there's a lot of restlessness. I've heard this again from family members, that restlessness in the fan base, and Brandon Streeter wasn't working out, and
yeah,
and they made a move. Will the move work out? I think that's the big thing there. So you could see those two definitely fading fast in the coaches pool top 10. But Texas A&M is Simonton's pick to be a dark horse candidate for the SEC title. I mentioned one of the topics of conversation is college football playoff expansion, and an interesting voice that came into this conversation in the last 24 hours was Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. He joined the Paul Feinbaum show and talked about what realignment means for CFP expansion. Here's what the commish of the old SEC had to say yesterday with Mr. Feinbaum.
Well, it remains to be seen, but, you know, how many FBS conferences will exist in 30 or 60 days, particularly as we head into next season, if you want to lengthen that time frame. We've been engaged in the right kind of conversations around future media opportunities, around the logistical issues and decisions related to the first round of games on campus, and how do we move then into bowl games? But we do have changed circumstances. Right now, we still have 10 FBS conferences, but there's obviously a great question about whether that will remain. And that could create a thought in my mind, and I think in others, about some level of adjustment being made. I do think the access we've created through the 12-team format still seems wise, but maybe there are elements and specifics of what was decided when we had clarity around 10 conferences that might need to be adjusted given what's happening right now.
SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey appearing on the Paul Feinbaum show courtesy of ESPN yesterday. Now, if you remember, the CFP is set to expand next year, and I don't think that's changing, but they did set the parameters. This came out late last year. The new CFP field is going to have the six highest ranked conference champions and its next six highest ranked teams. The four highest ranked conference champions earn the top seeds in a first round bye. The other eight will play in the first round, and that's the campus games that we mentioned, the higher seeds hosting the lower seeds. The first round of the playoff is set to take place the week of December 21st. Of 2024, with specific dates announced at a later time. So it's kind of an interesting thing to look at, you know, like, okay, so if the Pac-12 is really, really, truly gone, and, you know, whatever happens, I know that was our poll question yesterday here at KGYM, what happens to the remaining Pac-12 teams? Cal and Stanford, are they joining the ACC? Which, you know, it makes no sense when you say it, but clearly making sense is not part of the vocabulary, the vernacular, if you will, in college football anymore. That what happens to those two schools? Do Washington State and Oregon State, Oregon State say, okay, you know, we're saving our butts, if you will, and joining the Mountain West? Or is there some sort of combo with the four? Or they go to some combo of the Mountain West and the American? There's a lot of still moving parts with this. And if there's one less Power Five group, as you heard Sankey say, it means maybe there's an extra spot for an at-large, or maybe it just gives, you know, the CFP, the commissioners, the people who are creating this field, maybe it gives them a little bit more power to give one of the big conferences, because, again, the Big Ten has 18 teams now. I don't know if you heard that. Still doesn't make sense to me, but, you know, you get the 18-team Big Ten or the SEC, which is up to, what, 14, 16? So many different moving parts these days. It gets crazier and crazier, I feel like, every day. But maybe that gives another conference more opportunity to get a top spot, or maybe there's like a wild card spot. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you can try to figure this out, but they certainly will need to figure it out here before 2024. But four teams this year going up to the 12 here in 2024. Just looking at last year's bracket, what would have happened, the teams with byes would have been Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. The remaining seeds, if we were copying and pasting last year's results onto the 12-team format, you would have had Ohio State as the 5, Alabama as the 6, Tennessee as the 7, Penn State as the 8, Clemson would have been the 9. So despite their two losses, Clemson would have got in the playoff, and that would have probably toned down the gnashing of teeth and wailing from fans there in Death Valley. I don't know. But Clemson would have been 9. Kansas State would have been in at 10. Utah at 11. And Tulane, the Green Wave, would have been 12th. That would have set up some really interesting games when it comes down to it. But that's what it would have looked like. I swear I can't talk some days. I talk for a living. That's not a good combination, but would have set up some interesting matchups and be interesting to see what happens going forward with the college football playoff. 319-366-1600, Justin on the text line commenting on Texas A&M. Are we doing this with A&M? The Aggies are back, says Justin. I think they'll be better than 5-7, because I don't think anybody saw 5-7 coming, but winning the SEC when you've got Georgia, Bama, LSU, nah, I can't. I can't go that far. 319-366-1600 coming up at 2:43. One more college story I want to get to. It involves the Big Ten. Northwestern, oh, gosh. I feel bad for the public relations team at Northwestern. I don't usually feel bad. Yeah, we'll get to it. Interesting t-shirt choice. We'll just leave it at that. If you haven't seen this, I'll tell you why I feel bad for the PR team at Northwestern. Coming up in about 3 minutes, it's Spencer at Sports here on KGYM.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertin and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 12 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-ay-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Advanced Electrical Services is looking for an experience-based journeyman and electrician helpers. This is an excellent chance to start your career or take it up a notch. You'll work full-time, year-round. Come use your skills to do high-quality work for this local, family-owned company with a positive culture and top reputation in the community. Visit advancedelectrical.com to see what they're about. Then call to set up a time to apply in person. Advanced Electrical Services in Iowa City is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minorities are encouraged to apply.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Dell Technologies Back to School event is on, with deals on top tech for class, hobbies, and more. Now, when you buy, you support a cause. With every eligible purchase, Dell will donate to UNICEF in support of GIGA, a UNICEF ITU global initiative to connect schools across the globe to the internet. Accidental damage protection included. Get rare deals on select laptops and desktops powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Save now at Dell.com/deals. UNICEF does not endorse any company, brand, product, or service.
Back at 2:46, Spencer at Sports with you here. About 15 more minutes together here on a Wednesday. Back with you tomorrow, of course, at 2. Gym class is next. Caddy Smack Day. As I've said before, you must have golf clubs handy if you want to listen to Caddy Smack. Isaac keeps shaking his head at that. I think it would be a great prerequisite. Can't turn on the radio unless you have golf clubs with you. No, I'm kidding. Gym class is next from 3 to 4. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Another chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Fry Fest High Porch Block Party concert featuring Trophy Dads and Pop Rocks with Todd today between 4 and 6. Going to play Family Ties again. If you're the correct caller, you identify a father or son from the sports world. Based on the trivia question, you'll win tickets to the show. It's coming up on September 1st at the Iowa River Landing in Coralville. If we're talking about Fry Fest, that means we are talking, well, it means we're getting closer, I should say, to college football being here. 309-366-1600. Wanted to get to this, and very fitting, Adam Rittenberg, who, by the way, was on the gym class yesterday. If you missed a conversation Scott and Mark had with Adam, kind of trying to sort out the craziness of college football lately. Adam Rittenberg putting out a statement, sharing a statement from Northwestern Athletic Director Derek Gragg. You might say, oh boy, what did he have to share a statement about this time? Well, funny you should ask. This comes from Bradley Locker of Inside NU, Wildcats sports internet site, blog site, who shared a picture of several Northwestern football staffers today at practice wearing shirts that, well, were rather tone deaf. The shirts having a slogan that said "Cats Against the World" on them, and included the number 51, the number that former head coach Pat Fitzgerald wore when he played at Northwestern. Of course, Northwestern facing numerous allegations and lawsuits for a deep-seated culture of hazing and bullying and assault. So obviously wearing shirts that say "Cats Against the World" and giving off kind of a "we're the victims" vibe, probably not the best choice, in my humble opinion. You can do what you want, but I don't think it's... If I were an attorney, which I'm, Lord knows I'm not, I would advise them to not wear those shirts. If I were anyone in athletics at Northwestern, I would say, please, we've had enough. We've had enough gaffes. We've had enough embarrassment with this whole situation. We don't need this now. Interesting stuff from players who were made available for the first time since this all came out. I believe it was actually the three that were supposed to be at Big Ten Media Days, but ended up not going because of the whole situation with the hazing allegations and such. But Bryce Kurtz, Bryce Gallagher, and Rod Hurd II were all available to the media today in Evanston. A couple interesting things, and these were direct quotes. I'm not siphoning them off to create a narrative or anything. These are actual things that were said. Bryce Kurtz telling the media today, the Cats Against the World t-shirts, according to him, are a reminder for the team to stick together. In my opinion, there are probably better ways to encourage each other to stick together than creating shirts that say Cats Against the World, but again, that's just me. Then Hurd, Rod Hurd II, was asked. It seems like a slam dunk answer could be had here, but Rod Hurd II asked, if hazing has a place in sports, in a direct quote courtesy of Inside NU, was, quote, I don't think we want to comment on that. Simply asked, does hazing have a place in sports? And you can all say it with me. Isaac, are you ready to say it with me? The answer simply is no. It does not have a place in sports. That is the easiest slam dunk answer you could have. Be on tape. Show that you are committed to changing this. And I understand he's probably told, you know, if anybody asks about hazing, don't comment on it because it's an investigation. There are lawsuits. There's legal action. I get that part. But just say you're anti-hazing. Please, just come out and you can say that. No one's going to get mad at you for saying that hazing is bad. But a couple interesting quotes there. The larger theme was they're preparing for the season. They have faith in the coaching staff. They're obviously going to play this out. Picked last in the Big Ten West, obviously not a lot expected of them. Now with all the, you know, the situation going on there in Northwestern, certainly is going to be expected to be a tough year for the Wildcats. But that is the hullabaloo around Northwestern today and moments ago from Adam Rittenberg at ESPN. Northwestern Athletic Director Derek Gregg releasing a statement expressing disappointment in those Cats Against the World t-shirts. Quoting directly from Gregg, quote, I am extremely disappointed that a few members of our football program staff decided to wear Cats Against the World t-shirts. Neither I nor the university was aware that they owned or would wear these shirts today. The shirts are inappropriate, offensive, and tone deaf. Gregg going on to say, let me be crystal clear. Hazing has no place at Northwestern, and we're committed to do whatever's necessary to address hazing-related issues, including thoroughly investigating any incidents or allegations of hazing or any other misconduct, end quote. That is from AD Derek Gregg at Northwestern. Like I said, not the best. I just don't wear them. Don't have them, period. But that's just, again, my humble opinion. 319-366-1600. Wrapping up the show today, want to get to our poll question at kgymradio.com. Are you a fan of starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason? And it's an interesting question, and I'll toss to Isaac with this too. It seems like every day lately we've been hearing about a starting quarterback that is going to play at least a series maybe in the preseason. It came out today, Deshaun Watson going to play for the Browns. Didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, but he's set to play, I would imagine, a series for the Browns in their upcoming preseason game. Kenny Pickett going to play. Last week, Russell Wilson was revealed he's going to see some time in the preseason. Baker Mayfield's going to start a game, presumably the starter in Tampa. I know Brian Gutekunst, Packers general manager, has said it's important for Jordan Love to see some time in Green Bay, considering he hasn't seen a ton of time over the last three seasons. So that's kind of where the question stems from. Where do you stand on starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason? I don't have a problem with it, but there is that injury risk, and you certainly don't want your number one going down in a meaningless game. There's that whole injury risk part of it, but what say you?
Yeah, I'm good with it as long as it makes sense for the quarterback to play, meaning if they're, you know, a young quarterback or there's a completely new system that they're coming into. They haven't really been, like, established yet, stuff like that. So, you know, I wouldn't want you know, Patrick Mahomes playing a preseason game, or
Jalen Hurts, right?
Or Aaron Rodgers or anything. Someone who's, you know, maybe older or has already established themselves as one of the best quarterbacks. But if they need reps, or, you know, in Baker Mayfield's case, he's on a completely different team, or Kenny Pickett's still young, hasn't quite, is still probably learning the offensive system a little bit. Mm-hmm. Things like that, I think, is smart. I mean, Russell Wilson is a good example. You have a completely new offensive system with Sean Payton coming over there. So it makes sense for him to kind of get at least a little familiar and a little game time in that system, because it will be very different than what Hackett run and ran to
he attempted
to run not very well. And so I'm good with it, as long as it makes sense for the team, though.
319-366-1600. If you want to vote in the poll question, you can go to kgymradio.com. Again, leader in the clubhouse is yes. I think, I don't, like I said, don't necessarily have a problem for it. Going back to what Isaac said about Russell Wilson, even Jordan Love, we saw him limited action, but he's your number one guy. And in the last several years, so speaking from a Packers fan perspective, Aaron Rodgers did not play. We saw a lot of Jordan Love. We saw a lot of the backups. And now it's Love getting that number one nod. And you don't want him to just completely sit out, especially in that case, and then hope he's ready for week one against the Chicago Bears coming up. But certainly it's interesting to see the number of not just quarterbacks, but starters in general that are going to be playing here in the preseason. Probably, I would imagine, a series at most, maybe a quarter for a lot of these guys, but yet to be determined. Preseason week one getting underway tomorrow night. Two games, Houston and New England, and the Vikings in action in Seattle. I believe NFL Network has both of those. We'll talk more NFL coming up on tomorrow's show. Quick look at the baseball scoreboard. Marlins rallying to beat the Reds 5-4 in Cincinnati. Marlins getting a home run from Brian De La Cruz in the ninth inning to take a 5-4 lead. Three-run homer from Josh Bell tying things up in the eighth. That's after Christian Encarnacion Strand and Spencer Steer, both former Cedar Rapids Colonels, hit home runs in the fourth inning for Cincinnati. So the Marlins beat the Reds 5-4. Milwaukee down early. They are winning. Let's hope they stay winning. Playing you gain, I guess. Brewers up 5-4. That game heading to the seventh at American Family Field. Rangers and A's just underway from Oakland Coliseum. Twins taking on the Tigers tonight. Cardinals and Rays also on the docket. Kyle Hendricks on the hill for the Cubs as they take on the New York Mets. The Royals in action tonight against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. And the White Sox with Mike Clevenger going up against the New York Yankees from Guaranteed Rate Field. That'll wrap up the program for today. Be back with you, of course, tomorrow. Latest college football news and notes, NFL, Major League Baseball. We'll try to cover it all here between 2 and 3 tomorrow. Gym class is next with Caddy Spec. Enjoy golf talk today with Scott and Mark and Brian Haas coming up just after 3:30. And Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.